Colossians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to basically just stay in Colossians today, pretty much just maybe two verses outside of Colossians. So if you'd like to write those down, we have them available on screen. I want to, again, thank God for Clarence, those who work to be able to not only provide words and so forth, notes on the screen, but so that those who are streaming can join us and those who are listening by CD or the however, whatever format it may be in. Colossians chapter 4. And as I see your fingers turning, pages turning, for those of you who have the book format, I'll give you another moment here. And then we'll make our confession, Colossians chapter 4, and focus on two verses here today, all right? If you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? If you like to join us, you're not sure what we're getting ready to do, the words will be on the screen. So if you agree, we invite you to join us. So let's just say it like we mean it. All right, ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. That sounds great. May it be, Lord. We'll never be the same. We'll be a little more like Jesus because of this time we're getting ready to share right now. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That word walk is also translated live. It speaks of a lifestyle, a way how we conduct ourselves. So walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming or making the best use of the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I would sum up these two verses today with four words. Live wisely, speak graciously. Live wisely, speak graciously. Would you say that with me? Live wisely, speak graciously. Now, does they say confession is good for the soul? So I'll just be honest with you and admit that at times, and I was thinking about this morning, I started to say, I have fallen short at times in living out these complimentary truths of living wisely all the time, always speaking graciously. And I said, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And so there's nothing wrong with that phrase, soften it. But instead of just saying, I admit that I fall short, I will go ahead and say, I admit that I have sinned in not living up to what God has instructed to do in His Word. I won't speak for anyone else, but maybe you can relate that, and maybe you listening, streaming can relate that, man, I haven't always measured up. Now, I hope you know me. If you don't, that you will get to know me well enough to know that my purpose is in no way to condemn. I simply want to recognize our need and then inspire all of us to draw closer to the Lord. Because when we do fall short, however you may word it, it does show how much we need the Lord, but thank God He's available for us. And just for the record, Jesus is not the accuser or the condemner either. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And if we know the Lord, He is not our condemner, He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Shepherd. He is our Healer. He is our Waymaker. He is our Comforter. He is our Strengthener. He is our Helper. So He's for us. He's not against us. He's with us, and we can look to Him for grace to help us in our time of need. And life has its ways, as you've heard during the service today, of showing us our need. So live wisely, speak graciously. Now, the context of these two verses is actually, I'll read verse 5 again. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That's not speaking of those who are out in the weather. Outside is speaking of those who are outside of Christ. It's speaking of those who are outside of Christ's body. In other words, he's saying live wisely, especially in your interaction with non-Christians. Especially in our interaction with non-Christians. Walk in wisdom. God has a purpose for us. I really believe this. If you are breathing, if you are here, God has a purpose for your life. And wherever someone may be listening right now in a retirement home, they could be bedridden. I don't know. But if you can look to the Lord in faith, I really believe you have a purpose. I'm not just saying that. I believe your life is valuable. But it's not just about us. God has a much larger perspective, and God has a greater purpose for us than me just trying to live to please myself. In fact, living just to please ourselves will rob us of our God-ordained purpose, because he has far greater for us than just about us. And so he wants us to be aware. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, the end of chapter 3, the last two verses there, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says this: whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Brothers and sisters, we represent Jesus to a lost and dying world. And he calls us to do everything that we do to the glory of God. Everything. That tedious little monotonous job you don't like to do. My brother, my sister, my heart goes out to you. But it matters. It matters in time. Others are watching. It matters in eternity. And if no other human sees, God sees. And he will reward us accordingly. Do all that you do to the glory of God. Live wisely. Speak graciously. Then he says this. He says, let us walk in wisdom or live wisely toward those who are outside. The word wisdom simply means skills for living. Skills for living. And it can apply in many different ways. You know, the Bible says that in the Old Testament that there were men whom God had given wisdom, a spirit of wisdom, to work in wood and to work in material and in jewelry, to do cutting. So there is wisdom. Some people have wisdom financially. Some people have wisdom in mechanics or whatever it may be, and it's really still of God. They may not even be a Christian, but in that sense, there is a secular wisdom. But there is also a divine godly wisdom. And so the wisdom that God speaks of in Scripture here in this context is live wisely. In other words, live as God wants us to live. Godly wisdom is living according to his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. It's living according to what he instructs us in his word and doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, because there is no other way we can live by what he said in Scripture without his help. But he is with us if we know him. He is the helper. For example, look at Colossians 3:18, if you would. Colossians 3:18. Here's wisdom for family relationships. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Kind of one little commandment, basically, for every family member. And wouldn't it transform our families if we did that one thing? Honestly, I'm not just exaggerating. I really believe. Can you imagine how different our world could look, so to speak, if everyone really heeded this one script? Do you see the wisdom there? that God has given us, just in family. And again, I believe it's every area. He doesn't tell us every little detail about maybe who we should marry, about which college we should attend, but he gives us guidance from his word of general ways to live, and then his spirit can guide us in the details. But we first have to be submitted to what he says in the general of his word, and if we're not willing to do that, then we shouldn't wonder why God's not speaking to us. Let's get in line with what he has already told us. Live wisely, speak graciously. I'll show you in just a little bit a different translation, but Colossians again, 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. That phrase is also translated, make the best use of your time, or make the most of every opportunity. And when we have opportunities, especially in our interaction with non-Christians, we need to make the most of that opportunity. God has called us to be the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And wherever we are, we represent God's kingdom in that place. If you're in the classroom, if you are in Christ, you represent God's kingdom in that classroom. If you're on the job, when you're in your home, your neighborhood, the mall, the gym, wherever it may be, we represent God and his kingdom wherever we are. We're not just Christians in church, at least I hope you're not. If that's your Christianity, I would say re-examine your Christianity. Because Jesus isn't a Sunday morning, he's a 24/7 all the time. Live wisely, speak graciously. Let me give you a scripture if you want to write this down. Because part of our testimony to the lost is not only our words, but how we say them. We can come across in ways, even when we're speaking the truth, we can come across in ways that are very unloving and cut off the opportunities that we could have maybe for ministry. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalms 39, 1. We'll put it on the screen. You can stay there in Colossians. I'll read it to you. Psalms 39, 1. Oh, my goodness. He says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Wow. Isn't that something? I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me, because Lord knows I don't want to sin with my words, especially in front of someone who will use it to turn away from Jesus. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? Live wisely, speak graciously. Think about our interactions with non-Christians. For some, you may have unsaved family members. So our interaction, live wisely, speak graciously when we're around them. Again, please don't think this is just a show. It's got to come from our heart. Living wisely is got to come from within. Speaking graciously has got to come from within, or we're just putting on a religious show and we won't stick with it. We have interaction with non-Christian friends. Some of you depend on where you work. You have interaction with non-Christian co-workers, or maybe people who would come into that place of business. If you're in school, you have non-Christian students around you, maybe professors, whatever it may be. We all have those interactions. Think about, you know, sometimes maybe something doesn't go our way at a restaurant, or we're at a department store and, you know, we're doing and we get frustrated. Believe me, I've been there. I understand. But I want to be mindful that me getting the food exactly like I want it, getting the service exactly when I want it, is not as important as if I were to lose my testimony before someone else who doesn't know the Lord. Maybe, not that God doesn't want us to enjoy our meals and get your return and get your money back, whatever it is, but do you see what I'm saying when he sees the bigger picture? And maybe he's wanting to use us to be a light to that person in that situation, just to see if we will handle it with grace. Live wisely, speak graciously. Will you say it with me? Live wisely, speak graciously. The Bible says one more psalm here, 19:14, Psalms 19:14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I started praying yesterday. I said, Lord, help me to have a pure heart. May my motives be pure in my heart. And even this, I just remembered this, you know, even our interaction with non-Christians in social media, on the internet, let's be wise about how we come across, because again, we don't want to turn people away because they think, well, that's how Jesus is by what we're doing, or maybe, you know what I'm saying? Just how we can come across at times. So let's even submit that to the Lord. Some of you heard the phrase, think before you. Well, here's another one. Think before you hit send. Or the arrow, whatever, all right? Let's pray over that thing. All right. Real quick, two actions I believe, or maybe one, that I believe is practical and helpful, because I don't want to just kind of get up here and say words. Man, live wisely, speak graciously, that we could live it out. And when we do fall at times, how can we get right back on track? I want living wisely and speaking graciously to be my default. Yes, at times something I may be overwhelmed and I, is in a temptation or whatever it may be, and I had an attitude or whatever, I'm so sorry, and make it right. But to go, that's my default. Is our ultimate, it really comes back to how can we stay in close fellowship with the Lord? We mess up, we get right back in step with him. To walk in wisdom is to walk in fellowship with Jesus. He's the wise one. So if we really want to live wisely and speak graciously, it really comes back out of fellowship with the Lord. And so if you want to just write, let me give you a couple of verses here if you want to write these down. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 of how can we live this out? How do we live wisely and speak graciously? Practical advice right here in this letter. He says, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I really believe that the first, if you want to say step, of walking in wisdom is to believe God's word, receive Jesus as Lord, and walk in close fellowship with him. It's walking in close fellowship with him. He's the power source. He's our source of wisdom. He is our source of grace. If we're going to speak graciously, it's got to flow from him. So being in fellowship with him is being in communion with him. Sometimes I know we can feel like, and maybe even say it, I just can't do that. I can't get along with that person, or I can't, I understand, believe me, I'm human, I can relate. But if we were to ask, can Jesus do it? Most of us would say, well, yeah, Jesus can, but I can't. Well, how about just surrender your will enough to let the Jesus in you do it through you? Walk in wisdom, live wisely, speak graciously. The reason any of us can live wisely and speak graciously is because God in his mercy provided a way for us to be forgiven, because his sinless son suffered and died on the cross and experienced that hell of separation from a holy God for us. He tasted our death so that we can taste of his life. It says it like this in Colossians 1:21. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, God, has reconciled. He's brought us back to one accord. He did it in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's how powerful the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus is. That one day in Christ, we will stand before the throne of a holy God, faultless and blameless, like we never sinned. We will be declared, or we are declared righteous because Jesus did that for us. We know we've fallen short, at least I hope you know. And we needed a Savior desperately, and God provided one for us through His Son. And then not only for what He did on the cross, brothers and sisters, verse 28 of that same chapter says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That word Christ means Messiah or the Anointed One. The way that any of us can live this out is because the Anointed One is on the inside of us. And that's what I'm saying. It's staying in close fellowship with Him. That's where prayer, worship, the Word, fellowship, all that is so important because it helps us be mindful. It helps us stay in fellowship, in tune with Him. And we need His grace in this hour in which we live. Live wisely. Speak graciously. I hope we'll get that in our heart and live it out. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 2 through 6, and I'm going to read this in a different translation because here's what I believe would be helpful in living it out. Live wisely, speak graciously. Live wisely, speak graciously is to be prayerful and thankful. Be prayerful and thankful. Being prayerful and thankful will help us draw closer to the Lord. It will help us speak graciously. It'll help us be more aware and be mindful if we're in tune with Him and we're thankful. Not just for, you know, one day a year, we got the formality. No, from the heart. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6 in the New Living Translation. I want to read it down here. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's a lifestyle. It's from the heart. It's a commitment to prayer. With an alert mind and a thankful heart. I love that. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. Be aware, be watchful, see what's going on, and have a thankful heart. That's why I was that testimony just so blessed me. My heart went out for this family who lost an 11-year-old son, man. I can't relate, but my heart goes out to them. But what a blessing to be able to give thanks knowing this isn't the end. They're going to be reunited with their son again. Don't we all, in our worst moments, if we know the Lord, don't we all have something to be thankful for? Thank God we don't have to go through something in this life without Him. Thank God this life isn't all there is to it. Devote yourselves to prayer with a grateful heart. And then he says in the next verse, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. I know it's so easy. And thank God, we're to pray for our daily bread. We're to pray for our needs. But brothers and sisters, please see that God has a greater plan for our lives. God has a greater purpose. It's not just about us. There's nothing wrong with praying, God, just bless me, give me a good day. Wow, did you feel God in that or what? But if we stop there, then we've made our world so small and we've made it just about us. What about praying for the gospel to go forth and reach people who don't know the Lord? What about God giving us power and filling us with His Spirit so they're right there in that work setting or right there in that school where they're making fun of me and I'm so pressured and tempted to conform to the world that God gives me grace that I can be a light to them? Live wisely, speak graciously. The reason this man was writing these words in chains was because of his testimony for Jesus. And he was still saying, let's be thankful. Live wisely, speak graciously, even if you have to do it in writing. Verse 4, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Then verses 5 and 6, I'll go ahead and share them in this translation as well. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. That's how they worded that with the salt. Sometimes that phrase will come to my mind. Sometimes we can say something that's so tasteless. You know how sometimes you put something in your mouth and you're like, You might just add a little salt to it. And in our words, we can do the same thing. We can add some grace to it, and it flavors it enough that even when we're speaking truth and it might cut, it has something there of God's Spirit that is more receivable, if I could say it that way. It's more palatable. Attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Just keep it right there a moment, please. The right response. I think the New King James says that you will have, so that you may know how to answer each one. That phrase in the original Greek language, from what I studied a little bit, can have the Hebrew meaning of carrying on a discourse. Carrying on a discourse. That's what I'm saying. See, if our words are just arrogant and condemning and harsh, we cut off the opportunities to carry on the discourse. Sometimes, see, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And we are a link in a chain. And many times, it's not just the first time, especially in our culture, when someone hears the gospel that they just received Jesus as Lord. Sometimes it's a process, planting, watering, praying, witnessing, and it could take years. So if we speak respectfully and humbly, we can keep the discourse going and keep the door open for further ministry and set someone else up so that the next person God sends to their path can maybe lead them to the Lord or bring them to that place. And then verse 6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So be prayerful and thankful. And I want to close just a couple more scriptures here. The Bible says this in Colossians 1. I'll just keep them in Colossians 1 and we'll be done. Colossians chapter 1, if you go back to that first chapter. Would you clear the screen just a moment? I'm going to give everybody a pop quiz. I figure since I'm in school, no. If someone were to ask you today after the service, what was the message about? Could you say those four words, you think? Anyone want to give it a stab? Live wisely. Speak graciously. Look at you. Y'all get an A. The fact is, we all have a chance to live it out, won't we? Live wisely, speak graciously, and being prayerful and thankful can help us to live it out. Notice how these are linked together in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Do you see how thanksgiving and prayer are linked together right there? Then verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled." Notice this, all right here. "We do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all" what? "Wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work." See, living wisely and speaking graciously, maybe we could say it like this way, being prayerful and thankful can draw us closer to the Lord and help us to live wisely and fruitfully. God wants our lives to be fruitful. Fruitful is not just how much money I make. It may include that, but the fruit that God wants us to bear is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit and Christ-likeness. That's the fruit that remains. These things are just temporary. That's the fruit that brings the most glory to God. And thank God, the Bible says in this prayer, He's qualified us to partake of our inheritance. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's transferred us into His kingdom. We're qualified, we're delivered, and we're transferred. Live wisely, speak graciously, and then I'll close with this, Colossians 1, 12 through 17. Because not only can being prayerful and thankful help us to draw closer to the Lord and live wisely, to be fruitful, I want to read this. I'll read these verses. I'll close with the New Living Translation again, Colossians 1, 12 through 17. But being prayerful and thankful reveals humility and helps promote harmony in the body of Christ. Please hear that. It reveals humility and helps promote unity in the body of Christ. Let's close with this. Colossians chapter 1. And the Bible says this, if we'll have it up there. I gave you that. Sorry. That is it. I'm sorry, you're right. It's Colossians 3. Sorry. All right. Verse 12. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. And then verse 16, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. We're not just mouthing words when we worship. We're not even just singing songs. We are worshiping and entering the presence of the living God. It's by his Spirit. And then the last verse, verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Live wisely, speak graciously. Being prayerful and thankful can help us. Brothers and sisters, we are the light. We are the representatives of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Thank God he cares about the details of our lives, but you and I have a greater purpose than just about us. It's about eternity. It's about him, and it's about bringing him glory. May God help us, especially be mindful. I want to ask you to just think about this as we close in prayer. Can you think of just one way that would help you to be more mindful, to live wisely, and to speak graciously? Just think about it a moment. Is there one way you can think of, even right now, that would help you to be more mindful, to live wisely, and speak graciously, so that we could be more effective for the Lord? Would you stand with me as we close in prayer?